Please be seated. It was just an ordinary day. He got up that early that morning, which was no big surprise because he always got up early. He was always the first one up in the morning, hurriedly getting dressed and then going back behind the house to untangle the still damp nets from the day before. It was just an ordinary day. After breakfast, he made his way the mile or so down to the shore where he and his brother had left their boat. It was a good boat. They'd worked hard and they felt really lucky that they were finally doing well enough to be able to afford it. As he approached the boat, he saw that his brother Andrew was waiting for him. He'd already begun to untie the boat and get it ready for the day. So without even really saying good morning to each other, they together hoisted the heavy nets up to the boat. Andrew got on, and Simon pushed the boat into the water, walking into the lake until it was about waist deep. And then he pulled himself up into the boat as it moved toward the middle of the lake. This really was his favorite part of the morning, that quiet trip from Bethsaida down the shores of the lake. Eventually, they slowed a bit, and without speaking again, Simon and Andrew put their nets down into the lake to see what they could catch. It was just an ordinary day. After a couple of hours, Simon steered the boat back toward the shores near Capernaum. There on the shore was this guy that they had seen before around the lake, a man that they thought people called Jesus. They had heard about this man. He was a rabbi, they thought. And just then the man began to speak. "Follow me." Simon turned around expecting to see someone behind him, but there was only lake. He touched Andrew's arm and they both looked up. "Follow me," Jesus said again, "and I will make you fishers of people." Simon and Andrew looked at each other in disbelief. "You want me to do what?" After all, they were just fishermen. They had nothing to offer, no real gifts, but Jesus repeated his call. And they both instinctively knew for some reason that they would go. They pulled the nets up out of the water. They tied the boat to the shore. It was just an ordinary day. But life would never again be the same. This season of Epiphany is always a time where you're going to hear a lot about calls. God's call. How is God calling you? And I think we do this not because Epiphany is just kind of filler time before we get to Lent, but instead because it's a time to remind us that it is in our ordinary lives that God finds us and asks us to follow. It's in our busyness, our day-to-day stuff, our day-to-day struggles that God enters our lives and compels us to put down our nets, if only long enough to look up and see the shore. And it is when we are fully convinced that we're not gifted enough or rich enough or young enough or just enough that God shows us how to be something new. During Epiphany, I will most always preach a sermon about God's call, asking you to consider where you might think God is calling you. And I preach these sermons knowing fully that most of you don't believe me. Calls from God are for priests. It's a priest thing. But that is not how it works, whether you believe me or not. And maybe our struggle with embracing God's call to us is that so often we make it about what God is calling us to do. And God knows we've got enough to do. And maybe that's the whole problem with this call thing. Maybe we've confined God's call to the things we do instead of what it really is, a call to who we are. Think about that. Maybe God's call isn't simply to do something, but instead to be something, to simply be a child of God. And maybe being comes before doing. Maybe being is what makes doing possible. It's really not that hard. God makes it very plain. It is usually we who stand in our way with our lives and our excuses and our own vision for our lives. Barbara Brown Taylor is one of my favorite writers, and she tells in one of her books about a time in her life when she was struggling mightily with this sense of call. She simply could not figure out what God wanted her to do. Did God want her to be a writer? Did God want her to be a priest? Did God want her to be a social worker? Did God want her to teach? And in her frustration and exasperation, she says, she fell down on her knees in prayer and said, "Okay, God, you have got to level with me. What do you want me to do? What are you calling me to do?" And she said she felt this very powerful response. God saying, "Do what pleases you. Do what pleases you. Belong to me, but do what pleases you." She said it struck her as very strange that God's call could actually touch that place of her greatest joy, that she could be called to do the thing that pleases her the most and gives her the most joy. Frederick Buechner is famous for saying, "Our calling is where our deepest gladness and the world's deepest hunger meet." Think about what that means. Folks, whether you believe me or not, God calls us, every one of us. Sometimes it's pretty scary. Sometimes we want to run away. Sometimes it means that we have to leave the life that we built. And sometimes it just means we have to be something different. But following God wherever God leads means that it is the place where we will truly, truly find joy. And it seems to me that maybe if we make God's calling about being instead of just doing, that we might find that God really does call all of us. It was just an ordinary day. Two brothers going about the work that they did every day, living their lives. Jesus said, "Follow me." To be something more than they already were in their lives would never be the same. We too are called. Every single one of us, whether you believe me or not, we are called to be children of God. And when we are open to being God's children, I think that we'll learn over time what that means and find all kinds of things to do in response to that call. But however it is that God may choose to use all of us, it's important to remember that before God calls us to do anything, God first calls us to be something. God's own beloved children. And knowing this, I think we can trust that the rest will follow. Maybe we do have to fish in different waters and look at things in different ways. But if we're honest with ourselves, I think we'll find that we can't do or be anything else. God love you. Amen.